Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you and praise you, Father God, for your power. Thank you for your might. Thank you that you are almighty. You are omnipotent. You're all-powerful. You're all-knowing. And you're all-ever-present, Father. So, God, we thank you for that because we need you in every area of our lives. We need you for everything. And, Father, we need you right now. Lord, as we attempt to do something special here this morning, Lord God, for the men, Father. We're looking, Lord God, for a movement, Father. We're looking, Lord God, to have an impact and make a difference through your men, Father. So, God, we ask you for a special anointing to be on this place this morning to give men courage, to give them power, give them insight, Father God, and, Lord, to give them victory. We thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah and amen. So this morning, we want to talk about celebrating godly men. Up there we said the Corinthians 13 man. And if you're familiar with Corinthians 13, it's known as the love chapter. And it is. It is the definition of love. It is the actual blueprint for love. Anybody that is following or attempting to follow Corinthians 13 when it comes to love, you are right next there, near and dear to God's heart, because it lays out exactly what should happen there. At the bottom of Corinthians 13, though, in 13:11, there's a little nugget in there about men, and we'll get to that in just a minute. So that's why I brand this the Corinthians 13 man. But I want to say that what we're celebrating here, because, you know, we want to celebrate, because what you celebrate, you perpetuate. You cause to continue. Right. Amen? You cause that to continue. So this morning, we want to celebrate what we need to continue. And in a minute, you're going to see it is a desperate need. So as we move into this, I just want to start off by saying, next slide there, the toughest job in the world is being a godly man. It is the toughest job in all the world. You are to be godly man, provider, godly man, protector, godly man, priest, godly man, be a partner, not a dictator, but a partner. Very difficult job, very difficult job. Let me ask you a question. Who sinned first? Think back to the Garden of Eden. Who sinned first? Was it Adam or was it Eve? Who ate the apple? Who ate the fruit first? Thank you. Eve ate the fruit first, right? Wait a minute now. Is there some confusion about this? I'm going to ask the question one more time. Who sinned first? Thank you. Eve sinned first. Then tell me this. Why in Romans does it say that by one man, sin entered the world? If Eve sinned first, why didn't sin enter the world by Eve? Why is he called out in the Bible as the source of sin entering the world? And by sin, death entering the world. Yes. Something's out of balance there, seems like, huh? Let's look. Let's see. Why is Adam being called the guy who brought sin into the world? So look at this scripture. But there is only one thing I want you to know. The head of every man is Christ. But the head of every woman is man. So, though Eve ate first, Adam's job was, first of all, to keep that snake from slithering up on her, to talk her into her sin. Job number two was for him to not partake, for him to not participate in the sin. So by one man, sin entered the world. Now, how hard a job is it, men, to be the head and to influence and to control these strong, powerful, women of God? It's the toughest job in the world. It's the toughest job in the world. Seriously. You wonder why men hide. You wonder why they run. You wonder why you can't find them. You wonder why the majority of the people in this room are women. Men are at home on their couches. They're ducking. They're dodging. It is the toughest job in the world. And how are we doing, men? How well, How good are we doing? Now look, when it says that man is the head of woman, it's not just talking about Christian woman. It's not just talking about Christian man. God set things in order. He told Adam, when he created him, that you are to take dominion. Dominion. So, ladies, as you sit here right now, if you're married or single, it doesn't matter. Man has a huge impact on your life. I would go so far as to say man determines the outcome of your life. And he determines the state of this world. Let's look at this. I don't know if you can see this. Murder, rape, robbery, assault, burglary, theft, arson, weapons, sex offenses. Look at the percentages, 88, 97, 85. Virtually what you're seeing right there is that men are the problem. If men didn't do these things right here, there'd virtually be no murder, because here's the other key. Not just these statistics, this is just what men do. But men influence the bad behavior of women. So if you wipe out the actual act that they do, and then you take away the bad influence that they are, what kind of world would we have? No murder, virtually no rape, virtually no robbery. There'd be no hashtag me too. So don't you think we need to spend some time focusing on our men, celebrating the ones that are doing right, trying to pull the ones in that aren't? Don't you see it? Isn't it clear? It's so clear. It's so clear. And yet, most of what we see in Christendom is somewhat feminine and somewhat, you know, it's not intentional. It's just that's where the influence is. But we men here at New Day Christian Fellowship, we men here, look, we are not fooled and we are not deceived. And we are making some moves. So let's go on a little bit further in this. So you think again, like I said, it doesn't matter if I don't have a husband, so I don't have to worry about men. No, you've got fathers, brothers, you've got the guy out on the street waiting to do you wrong. You've got the most powerful governmental body in the world. 81% of them are men. Congress of the United States, the most powerful country on earth. Most of the people in the Congress that run the country are men. That's the same guys who were on those statistics, that rape and murder and da-da-da, that goes on. The most powerful position on earth, president of the United States, male-dominated. Have we ever had a female president? And it doesn't matter even when we do. Men will always dominate. They will always dominate. They were designed to dominate. If they have to do it physically and forcefully, they will dominate. We have to get to the heart. We have to get to the heart of men. We cannot do it through legislation. We cannot do it through laws. We cannot do it through police states. We have to get through the spiritual state of man, and we have to clean it up, and we have to get men focused on loving and following God. We have to do that. Otherwise, we will continue to be a world that's spiraling out of control and headed down. Now look, I'm under no illusion. There's a broad road that leads to destruction. There's a narrow road that leads to life. Few there'll be that find it. The majority of people are not going to get this. But that's not going to be the testimony of New Day Christian Fellowship. Amen? That is not going to be our testimony. We have to get this right. So what is the problem with men? What is wrong with men? So you ask yourself that question every day, huh, ladies? What is wrong with men? Well, let's get some answers here. Okay, control your amens, all right? This is that nugget that is buried at the bottom of Corinthians 13 after this. It so eloquently tells us how to love. Down at the bottom of there, the Apostle Paul, on the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he slips in this nugget. He says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. See, we thought manhood started at 21. Manhood starts when you put away childish things. It starts when you put up. So you might be asking, well, what's so bad about childish things? Let's look and see. Let's see what's so bad about childish things. Childishness equals foolishness, because right there in Proverbs 22, it says, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, and the rod of correction will drive it far from him. Well, as we know, there are a few rods of correction that are being swung these days. There's a shortage of the rod of correction. So what kind of men are we bringing up? Foolishness bound in their heart. Well, what's so bad about foolishness? That just means they're a little dumb. They're a little off kilter. That means they just, you know, don't quite have it together. No, let's see what foolishness is. Foolishness equals ungodliness. Because in Psalms 14, it says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Now, you know, the minute someone says there is no God, now you have just opened the door to all manner of evil. Literally all hell is now on it's in play. There's no God. There's nothing to hold me accountable. There's nothing to restrain me. There's nothing to stop me from raping and murdering and killing and stealing in my mind, in my actions. So the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. And until a man makes a decision to put childish things away, he acts just like a fool that has no God. And then he messes up everything that he comes in contact with. We have so many children and so many women right now who are in trouble because of some foolish man. Because if a man takes authority and if a man stands for righteousness, his wife, his children, they may stray, but he will stand firm. And just like if Adam had stood firm in the Garden of Eden, there would have been a whole different outcome. There's no way that Eve alone could have brought in the kind of wrath and the kind of sin and death that we have right now. If Adam had said no, I mean, you know, and it's not like it's unfair. I mean, Adam knew what's going on. I read it again this morning. It says, and Adam was right there. When the serpent tempted Eve, it says, and Adam was right there. And he did eat. If I come home and my beautiful, wonderful wife, Sister Delisa here, is conspiring with somebody who slithered up into my house talking about robbing a bank, but it wouldn't be a bank, it'd be Target. She likes to go Target. Yeah. Robbing Target. Go get some discounts. And I just sit there and listen to that. And then she goes and gets in the car and I just jump in and go. Just because she did it and because she thought it up, am I free? Am I innocent? No, it's my responsibility to get the snake out the house. And Sister Delisa, now I cannot control this woman, okay? I'll tell you that right now. Thank God she submits. In a godly way, when she needs to, if it's necessary. But if she, let's say she didn't do it though, and she did get in the car and she did head for Target, and if I stayed at home and prayed and interceded for her, God looks at that and he honors that. He will honor my righteousness. He will honor my stand. Now, I don't know what's going to happen to Sister Lisa, but I know that for me and my house, we're going to still be standing on the word of the Lord. So that's why, you know, I say it's the toughest job in the world. Men have the toughest job, and we need so much support. If you would, please go back and listen to Pastor Tony's message from last Sunday, where he really appealed to you wives and sisters and ladies. Please esteem your men, respect your men, believe God for your men, lay hands and pray for your men, be there for them. And as you do that, we're going to co-labor with you to try and help them get to where they need to be. Let's look at this next slide. So again, this is what you get with ungodliness. We can move on, Lavelle, to the next one. So the bad news is man is the problem. The good news is Corinthians 13, man is the solution. So if Corinthians 13 man, and when I say that, that's the man who has put away childish things. And see, again, we're very blessed. We have a brother in this ministry named Malik Carthorne that the Lord just dropped in here all of a sudden. Brother doesn't play, okay? I mean, Minister Tim and I, Pastor Tony, we've all been working the men's ministry and bringing it along. And then Brother Malik, since he has joined us, he has a history and he has a vision of working with men that really solidify what we've been trying to do, to really get some action, to really, really do some tangible things that are going to make a difference in our men's life. So we are thankful and blessed to have him. Amen? And of course, he doesn't like this at all. He just says, hey, you guys, come on. So anyway, but you have to give honor where honor is due. But we're the kind of ministry, we don't care who brings the leadership. We don't care who brings the message. We don't care. Yeah, I'm Elder Kelvin and I'm over. Come on, Malik, let's do this, brother, you know? I mean, that's the way we are. That's why we prosper. And that's why we're going to make this happen. So how do we make this happen? How do we get men to put away their childish things? How do we do that? By encouraging and equipping them and empowering them and bringing us together so that we really come together as a brotherhood is the word you're going to hear. So on the next slide here, this ministry is so positioned for this because, you know, these are our core values: to worship, connect, equip, and serve. So if you're going to get men to put away childish things, the first thing you got to do is connect with them. You got to connect with them. And that's what we're looking to do. And then you have to equip them. It doesn't come naturally. It is not natural to not go and play hide and seek. When your wife or the circumstances in your life or whatever it is get tough, the natural thing for men to do is to hide. Hide and seek pleasure elsewhere. Hide and seek pleasure by another means other than a godly way to do it. I know. See, I'm talking from experience. I've been here. I've done that. My wife married a childish man. She did. She married a total fool. Total fool. That's why I'm so passionate about this. That's why I can preach it unapologetically and without blinking, because I was that man. So if you are in any way feeling convicted or offended, good. Because your former state, that state you're in right now, it's destruction. But what we're talking about life. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to connect and we're going to equip. We're going to connect and equip. And so how are we going to do that? Well, you know, we've been called the men of purpose, and that we are. We are men of purpose. But now we're going to get a little more specific in what our purpose is. We are now the brotherhood. We are the brotherhood. And I'll show you in just a minute why we're the brotherhood. But here's what we're going to do. We're going to be men who honor and obey God and his word, who love and provide and protect for our families. We're going to serve and support our pastor, and his church. And let me tell you something about our pastor. You know why he's so easy to follow? Because he's going the same way as Jesus. He's going the exact same way. We will never be following Jesus and bump into pastor, because he's going the same way. So if you're bumping into pastor, you better check and see who you're following. If you are bumping and colliding with pastor, I'm not saying he's perfect and that there's never going to be any issues. I'm just saying on the main things that really matter, if you are bumping into pastor, you're probably going in a different direction. And we just need to check that, because we're going to serve and support our pastor and our church, because this is the hospital. Amen. This is the workshop. This is the locker room. This is the war room. This is where we're going to dispatch men from who are going to make a difference in this world and in this community and in their families and in everything they touch. So we're going to support and serve our pastor and this church, and we're going to encourage and we're going to hold each other accountable. Accountable. That's that bad word. In your business, in your face, accountable. The men that were at the men's meeting on Saturday, they know what that means. Because Sergeant Carthorne, or General Carthorne, he sort of marched around like, hey, you know, what's going on? Let's talk. I mean, really, no more. And ladies, I just want to say, you know, it's wonderful what you do. It's wonderful who you are. But please don't expect us to do anything or be anything like you, okay? Because you don't want us like that, right? People are wrestling these days with something called gender identity. We're not going to wrestle with that. Our men are going to be men. Godly men. We don't have any question marks about who we are. And we're not going to apologize for our masculinity. But we are going to love like Corinthians 13, which means we won't hurt you. We'll only love you. We'll only be good for you. We'll be very, very best for you. So, what is the brotherhood? Why brotherhood? Because whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother. That's our brotherhood. That's what everything we do is based on the word of God. Jesus is our ultimate example of who we are trying to be. Don't fear, have no fear, just believe God, trust God, and watch these men get transformed into what we need them to be and what we all need to be. I'm a witness. I am an example. The Lord used Sister Delisa here and other men, one man in particular who came alongside me when I was totally foolish and totally childish, and over time transformed me enough Not that I've arrived, but enough to be able to stand here and at least encourage and be a part of the solution. So no matter where your man is right now in their walk, or your brother, or whoever you come in contact with, again, because we've got to reach all men. The men we don't reach are the ones who are going to still continue to murder and rape and steal, and we're all going to be victimized by them in one way or another. They're going to be presidents of the United States. They're going to be congressmen and senators. They're going to be heads of state. Men are going to have those positions. So we all have an equally vested interest in making sure that we get these men right. Because when men ain't right, the world ain't right. Amen? Amen? So we're going to do something special this morning. We're going to do something very special this morning. You know, in Deuteronomy, it talks about back then it was talking about the commandments to write them on the doorpost, to bind them on your neck, on your frontlets, all over. So we have something for our men that are ready to say, yes, I'm going to pursue being a Corinthians 13 man. I am making a decision. It's not a feeling. It's not what you're feeling. It's not where you are right now. It's where you're going. But it is a decision. And we're going to walk beside every man who makes this decision. I mean, Brother Cawthorn has put together, or he's formulating, and we're formulating together a program that really makes a difference. It helps in every area of your life, your finances, your marriage, whatever you're doing, it's going to be there to support you. So men, you want to be a part of this. You want to get in on this. But however, you will be held accountable. We are not going to let anyone hide. You will not hide behind any of this stuff. That's a magnet that's on my cabinet in my garage. But again, I just put this stuff around me, so I don't even stop and read it, but I see it's like, oh, see, 13 minutes, right? I'm sorry, honey, I didn't mean to say that. You know, I mean, it's reminders of who we are. Because in James it says, you look in the mirror, you walk away, and forget what manner of man you are. Don't want you walking away. We want consistency. We do not want to bring any type of dispersion on the name of Jesus Christ. So when you step up and say, I'm making a decision, you're representing something much greater, something much mightier. And he knows we need his help. Only the Holy Spirit can get this done. He can use all of us in any way he chooses, but only he can do it. And so we're going to present our men that are ready to make this decision with one of these right here, and we're going to present them with a magnet. And let me just say, just so you know, this particular thing, I did this just out of Sister Delisa's pocket. This did not come out of church finances. Okay? Because that's how committed we are. We are putting in our own time and our own money into this. We're not taking special art because it's beyond that. It's too serious for that. You catch the vision, you'll give. You catch the vision, you'll support it. When you see the statistics start to go down on rape and murder and all those things, you'll say, whoa, the brotherhood's having an impact. So that's what we're talking about. So, yeah, so we're doing this out of our own pocket. So if we would, Brother Malik, Minister Tim, Elder Abraham, and have these men come forward. And what we're going to do, we handed out at the beginning of the service this half sheet right here. And it really was designed just for the men. Ladies, it does not mean you can retain your foolish and childish ways. But we'll get to you. Now, this is just for our men this morning. And it's Proverbs and Psalms, where we just talked about in Proverbs it says foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. And in Psalms it talks about the fool that said in their heart there is no God. So when we make a decision that we're going to be the Corinthians 13 man, we're making a decision that we are no longer going to hold on to the foolishness and the childishness. So what we want to do right now, I want to invite every man, if you are ready to make a decision, not that you have made it. Some of you have already. There's a lot of great men in this church. That's the other thing why we're so confident. There's some great men in this church. We have such a foundation to build on. It is incredible. Matter of fact, I would almost say the majority of the men in here are just going to be the army that mobilizes the rest of the men here and in the community and in the world at large. But we want to affirm them this morning. We want to celebrate, right? We said we're going to celebrate our Corinthians 13 men. So what we're asking to do is, men, if you are ready to make this decision that you are going to pursue being a Corinthians 13 man, I want you to take this half sheet right here, tear it off of that note thing that it's attached to, and then what we're going to invite you to do is to go out into those aisles over there and then come forward. Oh, I'm sorry. Minister of Protocol keeps me straight. Come down this middle aisle, and we're going to have you throw this down here, throwing down the foolish and the childish ways, and we are going to hand you, along with giving you the right hand of fellowship, these men of God are going to hand you this. What's inside of there is this, again, this pendant and that magnet. And then we want you to stand up here together, and then Elder Abraham's going to pray a prayer over the men, and that prayer is going to mobilize us. Going to mobilize us. And we are not going to look back. You are going to hear about the brotherhood. Amen? So, men, if you would make your move now, those of you who feel so inclined, let's do this. Go down, Doctor. Hey. Thank you, sir. All right. Hey. Right, look at the men. There's an army. Oh, you got it. There's an army. Men, stay up here, please. Stay up here, men. Stay up here. Hey. Hey. Throw it down, brother. Hallelujah. Bless you, brother. Bless you. Throw it down. Here you go. All right. Hey. Bless you, Pastor. Trey, son, let me think. Hallelujah. Come on, man. Let's do this, man. Hallelujah. Let's do it. All right, Jim. Take your time. Sean. Come in. All right. Come on, man. Come on. We've got time for this. We'll take time for this.
Some go that way. Send some that way.
Okay. Go that way, John. Thank you. Hey, Ron. There you go, Ron. All right. Tristan, the men are coming. The army is rising up. Hallelujah. Oh, sorry.
Come on, let's celebrate the men.
Yeah, hallelujah.
We even have our young men coming. Our future is coming in the house. We're going to raise up godly men in this household. Somebody need to celebrate. Somebody needed, ladies, to stand up on your feet and give God some praise in this house. We're about to transition some men for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. These are your sons. This is somebody's husband. Come on, women of God. We need you.
Right. Hallelujah.
Praise right. God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We celebrate what God is doing here at New Day. God is at work.
Yes.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in the church. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in our families. Thank you for what you are doing in our community. Thank you for what you are doing in the city. We thank you, Lord, for what you are doing, oh God, in this world.
Yes,
we thank you, Lord, that God, these are men of purpose.
Yes.
men of influence. Yes. Lord, men who are sent out, men who are part of your church, who want to say thank you, O God. And Father, I want to pray, Father, for every man who is here, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray that God create in us a new heart. Create in us a new heart, Lord. A new desire, O God. Desire for godliness. Desire for holiness. Desire to live right. Desire to protect your children. Desire to protect our families. Desire to provide for our families. Desire to do what is godly and what is right before you and before the community. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we pray. We know that God, the devil, will always try to bring fear. The Bible says fear is not from God. For we have not been given the spirit of fear, but we have been given the spirit of power, the spirit of love, the spirit of sound mind. In the name of Jesus, I pray against fear. Hallelujah. Fear must go. Hallelujah. Fear must go. Yes. Fear must go. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We speak and proclaim boldness in our hearts. Men who are bold and be able to stand for what is right. Men who will stand for what is right, even if it's against the current culture. Yes. But to know what is godly. And we stand for what is for God, what is for heaven, what is for your kingdom, O God. Help us, Lord, to seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. And we know that God, the rest shall follow. In the name of Jesus, we pray that God help us, Father, to stand for the truth wherever we are. To stand for the truth during the day. To stand for the truth even at night. To stand for the truth on the street. To stand for the truth at home, to stand for the truth at work, to stand for the truth wherever we are. Father, we pray, oh God, that God, we pray that, Lord, you'll continue to guide us and lead us, oh Father. And finally, Lord, help us to stay right under the blood where the devil can do us no harm. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, Hallelujah. We pray. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory, glory. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
So men, hallelujah,
hallelujah,
men. So as you go back to your seats, men, you will be hearing a lot more about what is next and what we're doing. And we want to just thank God for these men. Can we one more time thank God for these men? Hallelujah, hallelujah. All right, if you would. Just have your seats again for a few more minutes, and we're going to start to wind out after Pastor Todd and the team blesses us one more time real good here. Amen. Hallelujah.